Welcome back to The Key, Inside Higher Ed's news and analysis podcast. I'm Doug Letterman, editor and co-founder of Inside Higher Ed, and host of The Key, most of the time. Today, though, we have a special episode from our new limited series, Voices of Student Success. Student success is a growing priority for many institutions as leaders grapple with public doubt about the value of higher education, a looming demographic enrollment decline, and historically high levels of mental health issues among Gen Z learners. In this six-episode series, host Ashley Mowreader explores some of the solutions and innovations that institutions are employing to help their students succeed in college and beyond. Before we turn it over to Ashley, here's a quick word from our sponsor, InsideTrack.
This episode is brought to you by InsideTrack, the nonprofit leader in student success coaching for more than 20 years. InsideTrack uses the power of coaching to support individuals in achieving their educational and career goals, transforming lives and institutions while creating social change. Learn more about this important work at insidetrack.org/the key.
Hello, and welcome to Voices of Student Success, Inside Higher Ed's newest podcast on student retention, engagement, and graduation strategies. I'm your host, Ashley Mowreader, student success reporter for Inside Higher Ed. Thanks for joining us today. This podcast is a companion to our student success newsletter, which offers ideas and inspiration to higher education practitioners looking to impact students' academic lives, college experiences, health and wellness, and lives after graduation. Throughout the series, I'll be sitting down with guests from a variety of institutions and roles to learn more about the issues their students face and ways they're looking to support them. Rural students face unique challenges in post-secondary enrollment and attainment for several reasons, but one large barrier is a lack of insight into college pathways and how they benefit students' career goals. I spoke with Ron Slinger, the president of Miles Community College in Eastern Montana, to learn more about MCC's Opportunity Realize program and how it's benefiting both his college and Montana's future. Here's Ron. Well, Ron, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. It's wonderful having you on the podcast.
Thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate being here.
Just to get us started, can you introduce yourself to our listeners? Who are you and what is your institution?
Thank you. So I'm Dr. Ron Slinger, and I have the honor of being the president at Miles Community College in Miles City, Montana, which is in eastern rural Montana.
Yeah. About how many students do you have at MCC?
So actually, our annualized headcount has grown significantly because of some of the programs we're doing. So this year, our annualized headcount is now over 1,300. So, which is significant growth. In fiscal year 21, we are at 943. And just this week, we got the numbers, and we now are at 1,343.
Wow. Well, I guess we should back up. And can you talk a little bit about the Opportunity Realize program? What is this initiative, and how does that impact your enrollment so extensively?
Absolutely. So Montana Chamber of Commerce, they did a survey of over 1,000 businesses about 3 years ago. And those businesses, when they talked about their biggest pain point, it wasn't technical skills, it was all soft skills. And so we were in the process of redeveloping our career development course. So I handed over that survey, those survey results to our team. And I said, you know, this is what the business community is asking for. We really should respond. I would love for us to say that Miles Community College graduates are job ready and have the exact skills that the business community wants. Well, they did a great job. They created a one credit course called Career Development and Interpersonal Skills. It teaches all those soft skills. So your emotional intelligence, time management, effective communication, conflict resolution, you know, just being a good person and playing well in the sandbox together, really, what we're teaching. So we launched that class with our own students, I believe it was fall of 22. The response was phenomenal. They gave us feedback like they felt so much more prepared for their first job and with the expectations of an employer. And so we quickly realized that, you know, if our students are telling us this, we need to get this in the high schools, okay? And so that's where the idea of the Opportunity Realize program really developed, because that is the vehicle on how we provide this class for free to every school district that's willing to partner with us. And We piloted it spring of 23 with two local school districts. They enrolled all of their seniors, and we had the exact same feedback. And since then, we have continued to recruit school districts. And I'm happy to tell you that today we now have 31 school districts that we're partnered with. And we also are partnered with two nonprofits, statewide nonprofits, in providing this course. And it has, I think it's doing exactly what we want it to do. I think it's preparing students. First, they get a snapshot of what college is like. They all earn one credit transcripts from our college, but they also are prepared. So if their direct path after high school graduation isn't to go to a school, go to continue their education, going right into the workforce, they've actually been trained in exactly what your business community wants. I would say they're job ready.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about the average high school student in Montana? How many students actually end up going to college, and what does that look like?
Yes. So Montana, only 50% of high school graduates go on to college. Okay. And in rural communities where we serve, that percentage is more like only 25%. So now the really exciting thing is that a lot of our partners are rural school districts. They're partnering with us where they're just agreeing to enroll all their juniors or all their seniors. So that is a complete game changer. So what we're doing here is basically we're saying, regardless of your socioeconomic background, regardless of where you live, you're going to go to college. You're going to get at least one college credit and have that experience. And at the same time, it's a career exploration class. So you're literally, the world is opening up for some of these kids. You're talking about, we literally have one of our school district partners this year has no senior and two juniors. Wow. That's how small that school district is. Okay. And we have other ones that maybe have five or six kids in those classes. We also have a very large school district that has 500 seniors that we're partnering with now. So it really runs the whole gamut. But in rural eastern Montana, we really are committed to changing this. And I believe the platform that we've created in this class, I actually believe it's a model that rural community colleges could take advantage of. And I think it could be an economic game changer for the entire country, actually.
Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit? Why is this so beneficial to rural communities in general? And where is that economic development growth?
So what happens is this. So we reap what we sow, right? And we do what we know, okay? If you are a first-generation college student, no one in your family even knows about college, no one or the experience, and they don't understand why you're even exploring that. So you end up just staying in town. You're not encouraged to go. And you work at the local restaurant or you work some job that way. This class actually has a whole module in it on career exploration, just opening up the entire idea. Now, they don't have to leave that community in today's economic environment. There are so many careers they could pursue and live where they live. We know now, post-COVID, our online offers throughout the entire country are just so robust. There are so many programs they could complete. That also, quite frankly, actually, that's been a game changer for us also. We have revamped a lot of our models. Well, we deliver this course distance learning. So a student who in my area, where it was in Plentywood, Montana, which is 4 hours from us, that student could never come to us for a 10 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday, right? They can now. They can Zoom in. We have high flex. We have all sorts of models now where that student is. That changes everything. And so when you think about that, that also creates entrepreneurship, that creates a whole new vitality for those communities. I mean, we're not looking for students to leave their home communities. We would like to educate them where they are so they can stay. And that's actually another one of those fears a lot of rural communities have is that, well, if Johnny or Susie go to the big university on the other side of the state in a large school, they never come back. We don't want that to happen. We'd like them actually to stay and be entrepreneurial, be and create a company that now is maybe hiring more people.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the questions I'm sure you get is, how do you scale this like you have, right? You've mentioned it was piloted with a couple schools and now you're serving hundreds of thousands of learners. How do you do that to scale and ensure it's the same kind of education?
So, you know, with academic freedom and faculty and things, they're often allowed, right, to create their own course thing. We actually are holding firm that this is the syllabus. This is exactly how we're going to teach it. We're actually training everyone that we're hiring, our existing staff and adjuncts to do our teaching in this program, the exact same syllabus and the exact same things. That way we can be sure, we can say, if you complete this course, you have been trained in this way in these items. So the nice thing, scalability though, is to your point that there is, it really is a different world now. I mean, post-COVID, you know, COVID was horrible for everyone, but what it did do is force us to realize that we need to be more nimble and have distance learning as a key component. So with this, we have, I mean, we literally are serving a high school that's 8 hours from us. Literally, that high school can throw a rock and hit Idaho, and we are on the exact opposite side of Montana, and Montana is a massive state. So, but we can seamlessly serve them and provide this phenomenal opportunity. It has been really exciting to see the school districts, and it's really fun when you're, you know, the students you see thing, but as you talk with the community school boards and the superintendents and the principal, they just absolutely get it. They're like, oh my gosh, this is such a phenomenal elective opportunity. And in fact, I mean, we still have, we're literally only just over a year into this, and we're seeing just this massive growth. I actually believe that by this time next year, with many of our partners are piloting with us this year, so, you know, they have just one class, but they have the ability to have five classes of it if they enroll their entire junior class, say. Which is where, just by the way, it's where we prefer for the class to be, is the junior year, because in Montana, every student in the state can take two free classes. So if you play that out, they take this course their junior year, then they realize, oh, I have an interest in IT. Well, then they can take two more free IT classes and start on that pathway. It just really does spark some really nice things for us. So it's really been exciting. But the scalability is endless, really, just because of technology.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, right, once students complete this course, there's also the opportunity for them to enroll either dual credit or I'm sure after they graduate into the college full time. What has that transition been like? I don't know if the data supports that at this point, but what are you seeing as students continue on, or if they continue on in their college education?
So we know that students that participate in dual enrollment do tend to matriculate. Okay. So now it's taking that whole edge on, well, to what end, right? So
right.
One of the next phases on this is developing a micro-credential, okay? So, because there's going to be some kids that, quite frankly, they have no interest in going to college, and that's fine. There are plenty of great careers out there, right? I mean, I think of like some of our ranch kids that own, their families own these massive ranches. They're going to run that ranch, all right? And that's fine. But these skills we're teaching in this class are great. And if we could reach them as a junior, we can then say, you know what, Johnny, you're right. You already have your career set. You don't need to go to college, but you're going to run that ranch someday. So guess what? As a senior, for free, you can take two more free classes. Why don't you take our ag business class? Because you need to amortize loans on equipment. You need to run payroll. I think the student, because it's laser focused and you're not talking to them about a long 2 or 3 or 4 year slog or grind, they actually would take the class, you know, and not to mention it's free, so why not? And then if you build upon those things, they then have a transcript. So when that time comes, if they come back to college, they already have an easier entrance that way. Now, to your point about where we're seeing that, you know, we're still in that first full year of it, okay, with our partners. So what we're doing right now is obviously we're recruiting any senior to see if they would like to become a full-time student. But the other part about this is we're a small rural college. We only have 43 academic programs, okay?
Right.
So, and while they still could come to us and finish their first 2 years and transfer, some of the programs that some of these kids are identifying are at other universities in the state. We're directing them there. I mean, we're just saying, hey, listen, here's the two schools that has that program. You want to be a dental hygienist? We can't do that for you, but these two can, right? And that's a game changer too, because they just have no idea. And now they've had a relationship with someone that can actually guide them. Because honestly, one of the biggest crises out there in K-12 education is they can't keep counselors. And when they do have counselors, half the time they're more like social workers trying to find kids food and housing and all these other things. They're not doing as much career development work. And so this course really does marry well with that. But ideally, Ashley, as we continue to build this out, our goal is to maybe create a micro-credential. It's maybe 3 or 4 classes long. And so that way, when a kid leaves high school, when they graduate high school, they also will have completed a badge or a job-ready certificate from our college. So at least they have some sort of credential as they enter the workforce if they're not going to go on to college. And if they are going on to college, all of our classes are fully transferable within the Montana University system, because in Montana, we have the Common Core numbering system. So they really benefit either way. Of course, the best option would be to attend Miles Community College. We think we all know that, right?
Obviously. You've mentioned a couple of times also that this is a free course. So what are those resources that the college is investing in to keep the program running, and how much is the state helping in that?
Sure. So I will tell you that this would not be possible without the vision of the state legislature, because what they did this last legislative session, they tweaked our funding formula for community colleges, and they put an emphasis on career tech ed education. So they emphasize that education, which raised the funding for that line, okay, of students. That has allowed us to have resources to be able to offer this course for free. And so I really want to say that and give them a lot of credit. Now, I will also tell you the exciting thing is we actually had a private donor donate $100,000 to support this program because they believe so much in what we're doing. And we've also received grant recently at $34,500 from a group supporting an individual county because they want every kid in their county to take this class. It's just an exciting time. It's resonating with people. They understand what we're trying to do. They see that void of that it's not out there. People don't have these things naturally. And it's rewarding, to have everyone kind of come together. And I've yet to have someone tell me, once I've been able to sit down with them and tell them what we're doing, to not get excited about what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, well, that was just what I was thinking, is it seems like everybody's on MCC's team, right? You've got state policymakers, you've got the private, the corporate side, you've got the K-12 system. Is there any barrier to this program scaling, growing? Like, what would be the limit?
Quite frankly, I think it's something that should be scaled to where it's just part of high school. Part of what they take. Every student in the state takes it. I will tell you the naysayers are, quite frankly, some of my colleagues at other larger schools, universities. They can't see the value of, oh, it's just one credit. Oh, you're just giving it away for free, right? Because they're more worried about full FTE, right? And I understand their funding model goes down that way. But I think the sad thing is this, okay? Since implementing this and focus on this, we have grown 45% in our annualized headcount of Montana residents, okay? 45%. When you think about that, okay, it's about increasing the recruiting funnel. And so instead of having a kiddie pool, right? Little plastic kiddie pool that you fill up as your recruiting funnel. Ours is an Olympic sized swimming pool now, because literally we have in schools who are literally enrolling entire classes. And I don't mean an individual class. I mean, every student. That means that every student that graduates from that school will be an MCC student with an MCC student ID, and we'll be able to recruit every single one of them. So at that point, it's all about conversion rate, right? So let's say here's our local high school who's joined the program, which we're very excited about. So the local high school has 116 seniors and 115 juniors, okay? Normally, before this program, we would see about 60 of them in dual enrollment. Through this program, we will see all of them, okay? So if you just simply do some quick math, okay, if we normally matriculated six of those 60, that's 10% conversion rate. Well, now we're going to have 131. If we can maintain a 10% conversion rate, that's 13 full-time students, right? And by the way, all the other students also benefited. And so that's the exciting thing about this. I mean, I see no end in it. You know, I have some peers that just get it. In fact, I'm speaking to a couple of them. I just spoke to one school a few months ago. In April, I'm set to speak to another school about it because they want to see the model and things. I know the model works. For us, we are fully committed. I see this as our future 4 to 5 year growth for our college.
Yeah. What do you say when you're talking to these peer institutions about why this matters, or what kind of encouragement do you give to them when they're looking into piloting something similar?
So I come back to the core mission. So we're community college. Access has always been the mission of the community colleges. But I also believe providing equitable access. The wonderful thing about this is that, again, regardless of your socioeconomic background, regardless of who your parents are, regardless of where you live, you can take this class, okay? And you have this opportunity. That's a complete game changer. I mean, that alone, every school in the nation should feel good about. But the other part is, we are responding directly to what the business community has asked for, which is also another huge thing. And for us in Montana, we also are responding to the call of the legislature and the governor's office of what they want us to focus on. So again, I realize that I'm blinded by my own clarity of vision on this, but for me, it's hard to not see a positive outcome for it. But I will say, if that funding formula had not been changed this way, it would be difficult for me to expand the way we're expanding. We still would do it, but we'd have to be pretty calculated about it. So it's terribly important to fund initiatives. When you want this kind of change, you have to fund it. This fall, I think we had 6 sections of the class. This spring, we have like 15. Because of the growth and because some of the commitments some of the school districts are making to expand, I think this fall we may have somewhere between 25 to 30 sections of this class, and then have to do that again in the spring. That's the type of just growth. And it's an exciting problem to have, right? And as always said, you know, we're the Miles Community College pioneers. It's good to be a pioneer right now.
That's awesome. Well, Ron, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It was wonderful hearing about this.
Thank you. I really appreciate your interest in our college and what we're doing.
And a very big thank you to our listeners for joining us today for this episode of Voices of Student Success. That's all for this episode. I'm Ashley Marrieder, and I'll see you real soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode, sponsored by Inside Track, providing coaching solutions tailored to every stage of the student journey. Inside Track coaching is proven to improve student enrollment, persistence, and completion. Learn how you can unlock the power of coaching to advance your learners toward their goals at insidetrack.org/thekey.